Amen. Thank you, ushers, for helping us today. Tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Day. I hope you're out of school or off work or have the opportunity just to reflect on the wonderful things that Dr. King did for us, his dream. He was killed in 1968, which was, I think, 53 years ago, marching all over the South and begging for freedom for black and brown people, for equality among all people. And it is astounding that 53 years later, his message is more needed than ever. Because it's not just one man. We celebrate a man's dream, but all of us have to have the same dream in our hearts and in our lives, especially in this season when things are just turned up and there's so much volume and so much negativity. I honor the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. I've got about three people on a list that I would love to take to lunch, and he's absolutely at the top of the list just to visit with and talk with and hear his heart. But we honor him today, and I want you to take time reflecting on the wonderful message of freedom and determine in your life to make sure that that message is lived out. Amen? Can we just give a hand to the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Amen. God bless you, sir. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to jump into another message in this frequency series. One of my preaching heroes and gospel music legends, in my estimation, was asking me last night to stay over and preach for him today. And I did think about it for just a moment, but I just had this teaching burning in my spirit, and my wife and kids are on their way back from Orlando traveling, and I flew this morning, and it would have been easy, I suppose, to say, you know what, yeah, let me enjoy this opportunity to preach for one of my preaching heroes and gospel music legend, and just enjoy that wonderful opportunity. But my heart was here today. That opportunity will come at another time. But I wanted to teach today because I feel this series burning in my soul, and I believe that that God is trying to help us get tuned in for this year. I really, really, really am convicted about this because I see the church. I'm not rambling. I'm intentional because I'm on my way somewhere. But I'm amazed to watch this outpouring, and this was our second one to do, and the calls are coming in from all over the country, churches of every size. A church just yesterday of about 10,000 people saying, I mean, we don't even know them. None of us have ever preached there. None of us have ever even been there. And they're saying, would you come and bring the outpouring to our church? It's not something, none of us get paid for it. None of us, it's just a labor of, hey, we want somehow to help create and cultivate a spirit of revival and help people understand how to get into the flow of what God wants to do. I can't even say what God is doing, because while we know he's able, not everyone is allowing him to work the way that he wants to work. Not everyone is allowing him to move the way that he wants to move. And while we work on and repair the foundation here in Covington, while we continue to heal and work and establish right culture and establish right principles and guidelines, and just make sure the word is at the very foundation of everything that we are doing, I'm telling you, there is an unbelievable revival coming to the Church Covington. I've said it. I'm going to keep saying it. There is an unbelievable revival that is coming to this house. I believe it's here, but I'm talking about tangible and just, you know, I can't miss Sunday because I've got to see what God is going to do, and not just see, because I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participant in what God is doing. But one of the things that I sensed so strong the last few days is how much the church has lost her mojo. And I realize mojo is magic, but you understand the word. The church has just lost its swag because much of what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the wrong voices have been so loud. The voices that we do not need to hear from anymore have been so loud that they have so drowned out the voice of God. We've been talking about the voice of God the last couple of weeks and hearing from God. But because everything is turned up so loud, we're not hearing from God. And so the church is almost out there running without direction, running certainly without confidence because she doesn't know who to believe. She doesn't know where to turn. She's scared to say this or to declare that. She's scared to do anything as a people because so afraid of getting it wrong. And one of my friends, Pastor Jim Raley, said this week, and it just found a place in my heart because it's so true. The church can heal the nation, but the nation cannot heal the church. The church can heal the nation. The church has always healed the nation when the nation has been fractured and broken. But the nation is not able to heal the church. So we, like never before, have to be in our rightful place. We have to do what God has called us to do so that we can rise and heal the nation. Does that bear witness in your spirit today? We've got to find our frequency. So I want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God, because there are lots of voices. There is a lot of noise and there is confusion. But as we've said the last couple of weeks, God loves clarity. His voice is clear. And if that is something that you automatically question, well, it's not to me. Or, I mean, I hear people saying that the voice of God is clear, but I'm not hearing this clearly. Then I want to help you today. I really do. I don't say that in a shameful way, and it's not anything that you should be embarrassed of at all. I want to help bring some context and some teaching to understanding how we can recognize God's voice. So let's go back to John 10. We've started with this text the last couple of Sundays, and we're going to again this Sunday. But I want to key in on yet another verse of John 10, beginning at verse number 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But notice verse 5. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And I want to key into verse 5 today because, in my opinion, it has never been more important than it is right now. And I'll preface this by telling you I love everybody. It's not a matter of that. And I'm not on a soapbox today, but again, if the church is going to bring healing to the nation, then someone has to speak to one of the crisis in the nation right now. And I'll just tell you, there are prophets that are out of control in this season. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying that they have a wrong heart. I believe they are prophesying out of hope. I believe they are prophesying out of desire. But I am not confident that it is the word of the Lord. And we got to know, how do we know? Because that's one of the reasons that the church is so unsettled right now, because one person is saying this and another person is saying that, and they're on complete opposite ends of the spectrum, and we've been taught to value this, we've been taught to believe this, we've been taught to respect this, but it's not lining up, and I don't know what to do. And so instead of having direction, instead of being confident in the next move we're going to make as the church, the capital C church, the global church, we are in this land of limbo and do not know what to do. And I'm telling you, it is not the will of God. It's not what God wants for the church. We have to know what God is saying. And if we're not careful, prophets are going to become the new pollsters. Pollsters are not popular in America because all of them are getting it wrong. All of them are saying, this is what's going to happen. And then they completely get, embarrassed because whatever their data says was gospel truth is not true at all. And if we're not careful, the prophets of the day, because they are prophesying out of hope, they're not going to be respected. And we need the voice of the prophet in this hour. We need the prophetic. We need to hear the rhema word of God and what God is saying in the now and current. We need the voice of God. The end times demand that we have a clear line to what God is speaking. But I believe there also has to be discipline and there has to be correction, or the sheep are going to follow a stranger's voice. Teaching today, I want you to hear me. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. There's an S on that one. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, these things keep happening. These things keep unfolding before our eyes, and we keep saying, well, this is not it. This is not it. But I'm telling you, every time you see these things happening, this is fulfillment of the scripture. This is fulfillment of signs of the end times. I know no one else can hear it, but I can hear this fire beep going back here. If you'll close the door for me, it won't distract me, so I can just teach for a few moments. So do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That's not a fire alarm. There's not a fire. Don't worry. I saw y'all like grabbing your purses and we out of here. But find out, test them to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Talked about discernment last week. This is why the old church prayed for discernment, because they wanted to be able to sense. They wanted to be able to know. They wanted to have a knowing in their spirit as to whether or not this was right or whether or not this was true. Discernment. It's a churchy word. It's a big word. And you may be new to a spirit-filled environment. You don't know exactly what that means. Go listen to the podcast last week and allow that to give you a little more context. But it is this knowing that says, you know what? My spirit bears witness. My spirit agrees with what is being said right now. My heart agrees with what is being said right now. It's discernment to know. Because this verse of scripture, I don't want to mess with your theology today, but I believe I'm in the book. This scripture gives me the right to judge a word. He said, test the spirit. See if it is from God or not. He didn't give me permission to be unkind to anyone. I'm not going to be unkind to anyone. There have been people who I've respected for many years. There's people who I've loved for a long time. I have sent text or emails or social media messages and says, you know what? You need to be careful. Because you flip-flopping, you're all over the place. You just keep prophesying this stuff, and it's very, very concerning. And if you're not careful, you're going to be the one with egg on your face, and no one is going to be able to respect. This verse says, listen, if your spirit does not bear witness with it, then it's all right for you to leave that word behind. And to determine this is not right, or certainly at least this is not for me. You say, well, Pastor Darrell, it feels right. I've had prophets say that to me in recent, but it feels right to me. It feels right. Well, the same Bible, Proverbs 14 and 12, says there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Death of what? It may be the death of respect that people have. I feel all alone in this building. I know I'm messing with about half the room right now that's like, wait a minute, that's the one thing I've got my hope in, is what that prophet on YouTube said. And I'm not trying to discount that. I'm not trying to make fun of that, because there are people that have great hope that something is going to turn, or something is going to change. Let me just say that an election is going to change. I realize that it's a divided world right now, and how everyone feels and everyone has their opinion on the matter, and everyone heard something and saw something, and all of that. I get all of that is going on. I get it. But in the meantime, I am not going to lose my relationship with God or compromise the word of God in order to believe something is true. Now, I feel alone, but I could rush hell with a water pistol right now. I got nothing but faith inside of me. I'm not being arrogant in my teaching, and I hope it doesn't come across that way online today, because I want to teach and establish the things so that our foundation is strong and it is secure. So how do we determine what is God and what is strange? Again, I'm not being unkind, and I'm not giving anyone permission to be unkind to anyone or to post ugly to anyone, but how do I know what is God and what is strange? And by strange, I mean it's not the voice of the shepherd. Because I'm going to tell you something, the devil likes to talk too. He likes to talk also. So how do I know when I am hearing from God? And not just the current, fever pitch, what are we going to do, and how are we going to, you know, get back to, I'm talking about just in your everyday life, how do I know whether or not I'm hearing from God? I titled this message, New Year, Who Dis? You ever hear, you text somebody and they say, new phone, who this? I've lost your contact. New year, who did? Who am I hearing from right now? Am I hearing from God? Or am I hearing from that other one that likes to talk too? Is what's happening in my life, is this from God? Or is it a distraction or a deterrent or a detour from God's plan and God's will for my life? So number one, this is the first filter that you need to run everything you hear through. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? I'm telling you, this will save you much confusion and much heartache. Why? Let me tell you why. Because God's voice will never contradict his word. God's voice, whoever's speaking for God, in the name of God, it will not contradict God's word. That's good teaching. Jesus gives the perfect example. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6, the Pharisees are again trying to catch him and trying to ensnare him, and they were always trying to get him to contradict himself and always trying to throw out these, if not hypothetical situations, these impossible to answer situations, and the enemy loves to do that and paint the believer in a corner, and so they were always trying to do that with Jesus, and that same spirit is at work in the world today, the spirit of the Pharisee that is always trying to test and question and just bring down all of the truths and the things and tenets of faith. And so the Pharisees came to test him. Verse 3, Matthew 19, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" So they're already changing his words. They're already changing what they know he believes and asking him this question. "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Jesus responds, "Haven't you read? Because my answer is going to come straight from the word that I've already spoken. The answer is going to come from the law I've already established. Haven't you read?" You're trying to get me to contradict myself. You're trying to get me to, be in this moment and feel pressured to say something or do something. You just need to go back to the book. Need to go back and read what I have said, because the answer is there, and I'm not going to contradict what I have already spoken. Luke 21 and 33, "And though all heaven and earth shall pass away, yet my words remain forever true." So he said, after everything has broken down, after everything has fallen apart, after everything has been through the fire, the flood, the crisis, whatever it is, my word is still going to stand. There are people in the world today, I am astounded by them. Popular ministries with massive followings that are saying, "Well, you know, I've never really believed that part of the Bible." They love the part that talks about money and generosity, but I don't believe that part of the Bible over there. It's prevalent. It's prevalent. I'm going to bring it to home. It's prevalent right here in Metro Atlanta, where we are picking and choosing. Man, I've got an authority on me today. I just need to preach. Maybe I should have stayed in Orlando. Maybe somebody... People that are changing and cherry-picking and choosing what they are going to believe. Listen, I've got to have the whole counsel of God. Me and my family are going to be saved. Got to have the whole counsel of God. And the word is not going to pass away. But it's forever, forever going to remain true. Does it line up with the Bible? Whatever it is I'm hearing, does it agree with the word of God? Number two. Will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more like Christ? If I follow through with this that I'm feeling, if I carry out this that I'm hearing or someone is telling me to do, will it make me more like Christ? Or will I be less like Jesus after I involve myself in that, take part in that? Will it make me more like Christ? Because, see, more like Jesus should be the goal of every believer. So if whatever it is I'm hearing calls me to an edge, If it calls me over to some teetering place where here my feet are on solid ground. But if whatever I'm hearing is calling me over to some teetering place where, I'm going to have to step real careful. And I just don't know about this, and I feel like I'm compromising everything that I've been taught and everything that I've learned and everything I know about the Word. If it calls me closer to a fence, think of a wooden fence. Think of a barbed wire fence living on one side. I don't want to live next to the fence trying to figure out how close I can be to the world and still be saved. I want to be in the middle of the field somewhere where God is doing great things. I don't want to live on the edge saying, well, you know, I like to come to church on Sunday and, you know, keep my left hand in, keep my right hand out, keep my left hand in, feel what it's all about. I don't want to live on the edge spiritually. And I realize that defines a lot of people. Because they come to church, even Saul, you remember Saul, he was so conflicted, was so aware of God, had heard from God, had seen God's hand on David's life, had seen what I would just describe as the anointing of God, but he was so conflicted because he was eat up with power and he was so thirsty and so lustful in all of those ways, but yet he would call for David to bring that harp, because when David would bring that harp and would play his worship music, it would calm the rage inside of him. But it would get calm only for a few moments. And some people treat the house of God, some people treat the presence of God the same way. They live however they want to live all week long. But let me go to church, but please don't be too long, Pastor. Please don't get too tight. Please don't get too far off in that word, because I can't handle that. I just came to get the rage calmed down, to just feel the goosebumps up and down my arms one more time. And then I'm going to go right back to living the way I want to live, and I'll be back when I need another dose. It's not going to work in 2021. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because I'm telling you, what you see happening before our eyes are the end times. That door is being swung wide open. I'm looking for somebody to ask if I can obey God. Can I just obey God? You understand that the Bible teaches us that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's coming to a world that is in complete chaos. It's what the Bible says. It's not Pastor Darrell's opinion. This is the Bible, the Word of God. He's coming on the scene to a world that is in complete chaos, and the Bible specifically says there is no one that can bring the people together. They are divided, they are separated, they are of differing opinions. 80 million that want Biden, 74, 5 million that want Trump. Everybody just mad at one another, angry at one another, fighting with one another, families separating, marriages falling apart. And no one can bring people together. I'm not saying either one of those two men are the Antichrist. I'm trying to describe the scene and help you understand what that is going to look like, because I believe it will be even worse. I believe the tension that we're seeing, I believe the chaos that we're seeing, I believe the anger that we're seeing right now is only an appetizer. You say, Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that, because I don't know. I don't know if I'm strong enough spiritually to survive all that. But listen, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, we will have spent however much time in all of this chaos. No one can bring man together. And then this man comes on the scene and everybody says, wow, he's got the goods. Let's follow him. So when you say, I don't like what's happening, Listen, what's happening is what's going to happen. Can we hold the end time at bay? Can we hold the rapture at bay? I believe a church that travails and has the heart of God saying, hey, Lord, stay your hand for just a moment while we get our family and our community and our street and our cul-de-sac and our neighborhood one. Hold your hand, Lord. I'm praying. That's the thing that that's the thing that he prayed in the Bible. Hey, Lord, peradventure, I could go and find one more. Peradventure, I could find 10. Would you withhold your judgment? And God said, I will. I'll withhold it if you can find 10. But if we got a church that's caught up in the same mindset and attitude of the world, that's talking the same way, that's posting the same way as the world, that's fussing and fighting the same way as the world, we can't make a difference in our community. Y'all hear me? Is this all right? I need PK here, because I'd look over and she'd just nod or something, just wrinkle her nose just right, and I'd know I need to hush, but she's not here. So I'm off in this. I want to know the voice of God. There's nothing wrong with wanting and desiring what you want. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, contrary to popular opinion, y'all know I don't do politics, but let me just speak to the elephant and or the donkey in the room. Everyone that voted for Trump is not a bad person. And everyone that voted for Biden is not a bad person. What if we just start there? I mean, it's a start. Realize we got a long way to go. But what if we just start there? Got to start somewhere. Will it make me more like Christ? Philippians 2 and 5. Let me get to this book. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. You mean I can't just say whatever I want? You can if it's like Christ Jesus. You mean I can't, it's 2021, I can't just post my opinion? You can if it's like Christ Jesus. You mean I'm grown, finally got to the place that I can afford to walk in there, and I still can't walk in there? You can if Jesus wouldn't be ashamed to go with you. This old-fashioned holiness right here. Church ain't heard none of this in a long time. The big church, again, I'm not talking about us. We're perfect. We got it good. I'm talking about everybody else. Will it make me more like Jesus online? I apologize. Please come back next week. Lord, I hope I look skinny today. I don't know. I worry about this stuff. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Are your thoughts obeying Jesus? Not all of mine are. None of it. We struggle, but I've got to make this obedient. James 3, 17 and 18, I love this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, the voice that comes from heaven, the word you're going to get from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's wisdom that comes from heaven. Just walk through that. Make note of that scripture today. And while you're fasting this week, while you're setting aside some media time, just go delve into this portion of scripture and just walk through it. is the wisdom that I'm counting on and depending on, and are the opinions that I'm listening to right now, are they first of all pure? Are they peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere? Because peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Number three. There's four. Number three. Does godly counsel agree? Does godly counsel agree? So number one, does it line up with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? Number three, does godly counsel agree? This is important. This is important because the truth is we do not value counsel like we once did. I'm not talking about abusive or controlling counsel, but godly counsel. Godly counsel. As a pastor, I can only tell you what I've seen and heard. Again, not this church. But generally, people in this current climate, they are not looking for advice. They're not looking for counsel. They're looking for someone who agrees with them. And sadly, pastors have become nothing but puppets. Because as soon as you say no, we gone. That's the reality. And again, I'm not talking about, I've known people who, you know, if they got ready to buy a car, they'd go to the pastor and ask permission, number one, to buy a car. And then number two, they would find out whether or not the color that they really wanted was an okay color to buy. Please don't come ask me. I'm not that kind of pad, don't want to be. No desire whatsoever. But on the flip side, I can tell you about people that I've pastored who have said, "Pastor, just want you to know I'm thinking about taking a job over in Timbuktu." Well, are you really thinking about taking a job, or have you already taken the job? Well, I've already interviewed twice. I'm probably going to send the acceptance of their offer tomorrow. So did you come for godly counsel, or you just came to inform me that that's what you're going to do? And many times, I feel like I got to qualify everything because y'all are still getting to know me, and I probably sound a certain kind of way, and I don't intend that, so I want to qualify. I've told everybody that's ever come, hey, there's an opportunity. Man, explore that. Find out what that's all about. There's been about three times in the last few years where someone has come for counsel. I think this is what we're going to do. And as sure as I stand before you today, God has said, they can't do this. This is not my will. This is not going to turn out good. And in that moment, I risk losing a friend that I love, someone that I care about. And with tears in my eyes, I've said, listen, I don't know, I don't have it all, but I'm telling you, the Lord said, this is not good. But Pastor Dell, did I tell you what the raise looks like? Did I tell you what kind of house I'm for all of that. That's wonderful. That's great. There have been many people that have said, man, God bless you. Here's a list of churches in that area. Go find. Go get plugged in. This is awesome. This is a wonderful move. But there have been times that God has said, this is a no. And I can tell you about people that have said, we're doing it anyway. And without fail. Take me. It's not because of me. It's because God said, without fail, it has ended an absolute shipwreck and disaster. I've been grieving the last few weeks over one of the most recent one conversation like that. Literally grieving because of the sadness and brokenness that is in their life now. And you say, why would God allow that? Why would God do that? I thought he was merciful and kind. Listen. God wants us to be in his will. It's thy will be done, not your will be done according to my parameters that I set for you. I want to be in your will. I've got to hurry. Does godly counsel agree? I don't want to just go rogue in my life. I want buy-in from those who will help me if I fall. I have godly counsel in my life. Not only do we have elders in this church that help make decisions. We have overseers in this church. People that help us make decisions, people that help guide us spiritually. Because I value godly counsel. I will not make major decisions without bouncing it off of godly counsel. How does this feel? And more times than I care to tell you, I've had godly counsel in my life tell me, no, no, no. And thank God I've had enough sense to say, okay. Well, did you get mad? I didn't like it. Because no one likes it. We start out about yay this tall not liking hearing the word no. And that's about the one thing we never mature out of. Somebody told me they slip back in that they hadn't been in a while. They'd probably be like, I'm about to slip right back out. Please don't. We just teaching. Does godly counsel agree? Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 19:20-21, listen to advice and accept discipline and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. His purpose, not my plans. His will, not my will. Proverbs 24:6, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. One out there doing it on their own, they're not going to win. So let me get to number four. I'm closing. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? Number three, does godly counsel agree? Number four, do I have peace? Do I have peace? Now, when you're trying to determine whether or not it's God's voice in your life, I would love for you to use all four of these filters. I'm confident enough to say that any one of them can get you the desired outcome of determining whether or not it's God speaking or a distraction. So I think all four of them work together in beautiful harmony, a quartet, if you will. But do I have peace? Because hear me, spiritual turmoil is an indicator of disobedience. Spiritual turmoil. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just life. I heard a man say one time, his wife was so positive and just she just saw the best in everyone, and he was particularly upset with someone because of what they had done, or and he was fussing about what they did. And she was over there, well, you know. And then he wasn't mad at the person anymore. He got mad at his wife and said, I bet you'd say something good about the devil. She said, well, he doesn't do everything we say he does. She was able to find at least one thing positive. We blame everything on him. Sometimes it's not him. Sometimes it's just life. It rains on the just and the unjust. Do I have peace? I just don't have a good feeling about this. God speaks in warnings. I feel good. I feel good about this. God speaks in encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Proverbs 4, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do I have peace? Then maybe you're saying, Pastor Darrell, my mama talked about that, or I've got a friend at work talks about that. And I've always thought it's just something that comes with time or with age or with gray hair, you know, just having lived enough life that your intuition finally develops. I believe you can have it young too. I really do. I believe you can mature spiritually to a place that you're not dependent on training wheels. And again, I'm not saying that in a shameful way. That's not something to be embarrassed about. Plenty of new believers in this room, and I'm so glad you're in this room. My task is to grow you and to mature you in the Word. I'm so glad that Andretta and the team broke through today and just kept singing. What was happening? The atmosphere was being made right to come in and teach a word that we otherwise probably would not have been ready to hear. Do I have peace? You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn. Turn it for good. Living life without direction, living life without guidance, living life without really knowing or being able to trust whether my feet are following the right path. I'm done with that, Lord. 2021 has to be the year that my steps are ordered and that I'm confident in every step that I take. I've walked on some ground that I wasn't confident. I didn't know if it was going to hold me. I didn't know if it was a sure place. But I believe in order for us to accomplish what you've called us to accomplish, in order for us to attain what you have called us to attain, we have to know that the path in front of us is the path that you have laid out, that you have designed, and that you have set for us. And I'm teaching to people in this room today that are not sure and they do not know. They come every Sunday hoping to find out, looking for that confidence. They get a little and then life knocks them back down somewhere Monday through Friday. They come back in on Sunday and start over again. But I believe this sacred season, I believe the fast we're doing, I believe the prayer that we're availing, I believe it's making a difference in our lives. Because what the enemy meant for evil, you've turned it for good. I know the enemy has a plan. I know the enemy has a design. I know the enemy is speaking too. But God, I've found the frequency. I found the frequency. I've been able to get my levels adjusted. I've been able to get this turned down enough and that turned down, and this was way too high and this was out of balance in my life, and I got that calmed down, and now I've got this spiritual station coming in clear, and I'm not going to lose it. It's not going to be just a 21 day thing. It's not going to be just a January thing. It's going to be an all year long spiritual experience. A spirit filled and a spirit full year. I pray today for people in this room, people online. They're not at that place of confidence yet. I challenge them, and I need your help, Lord, to put it in their heart and to put it on their mind to keep bringing them back to this word and to keep bringing them back to this table and to keep picking up the same fork and diving into this spiritual meat to keep growing and maturing and becoming. Sometimes there's some trial and error in figuring out the voice that I need to listen to. These filters are helping me. Does it line up with the Bible? Will it make me more like you? Does godly counsel agree? And do I have peace? New year, I know exactly who's on the line. New year, I know exactly who's calling me. Not following the stranger, following the shepherd. In Jesus' name. Maybe I prayed that for you today. Maybe somehow my words summarized your heart. If you receive it today, I want you to lift up your hands in this house and say just that, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you're in this room, if you're online, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I cannot think of a better time, not a better day to give your life to Jesus, to say yes. Man, you hear this word and you're like, that's what I want, that's what I want. I don't want to be this casual Christian. I don't want to be this way. That's what I want. I want to be a strong believer. Say yes. Let him build you. Let him grow you. It's not a one-time prayer. It's not a, well, let me pray this and I'm good. No, keep on praying. Keep on reaching. But start right here. Join me in this and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for ignoring the voice on the GPS. Told me to turn right and I turned left. Now it's been trying to reroute me for the last few weeks. Get me back on track. Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. I say yes to you. I accept your gift of salvation, your awesome and amazing grace in my life, your unbelievable mercy. I receive it today. I accept it. And I ask you to put me on that path that will lead me to spiritual heights I've never even imagined. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we celebrate people that made a decision today for Jesus? You take what the enemy
meant for me,
that's what he just did,
and he turned it.